Hey everybody, this is Gus G, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another brand new episode of our interview and podcast series. This is Eric Woody with Sonic Perspectives, and today we have a guest who really needs no introduction, but we'll give him one anyway. Hailing from Greece, this guitar virtuoso has made himself very well known in the power metal circle due to his time with bands such as Mystic Prophecy and his own band Firewind. He has also gotten to record and tour with Ozzy Osbourne and released 3 solo albums, the latest one released this month of April 2018, titled Fearless. And to find out as many details about the album as possible, we have invited none other than the astonishing X-Man himself, Gus G. How's it going, Gus?
Wow, what an intro. Thank you.
Yeah, man, my pleasure. I'm a really big fan of yours. It's really great to talk to you.
Oh, wow, man, thanks. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, man, well, let's go ahead and get down to business.
Yeah.
Your previous solo albums, they had various guest singers, but this one only features Dennis. Why only one singer, and what was the experience like as opposed to having multiple singers?
On this record, I just wanted to simplify things, really. I was looking to have one main vocalist to basically go out and tour with me. I mean, that was the initial idea, and then I originally started, Dennis was not destined to be the singer of the record. He was destined to be primarily the co-producer and the bass player, because me and him, we co-produce and we co-write all the songs together. So the way we usually do things is like I'll send him the music, the demo, and then he'll put vocals on top, like pilot vocals, vocal lines, and then send it back to me. And then, we'll just go back and forth a few times until we nail it. But then, once we wrote all these songs, I started wondering how are we going to do this, and I said, who are we going to get to do this? And most of the good guys are usually already taken by other bands, or they have other commitments. And that's when Dennis stepped up and said, listen, I can play bass, but if you want to, you can also use my vocals, and we can do this as a power trio. So I said, well, yeah, if we can go on tour with this, that would be great. So I gave it some thought, and that's the way we decided to do it. We just gave it a shot.
Okay, awesome. So the lineup on this album will be the one touring with you?
Yeah, I mean, on drums we have Will Hunt on the record, but his main gig is Evanescence, and that's a pretty huge band. So obviously he's really busy with that, so I don't think he's going to be able to join us for the live show. So we're going to have some other friends helping us out on various tours. But yeah, me and Dennis, we're going to go out together, and we're still going to keep it as a power trio. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And your previous singers, they also wrote their own lyrics for each song on your previous albums. Did Dennis write his own lyrics as well?
Yeah, he did. Like, for the most part, I mean, my lyrics are not my area, more or less, but I'll throw some titles at him, or working titles, or I'll throw in ideas. Every now and then I might write a line or two, but honestly the credit goes to him for writing the lyrics. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And since he's also handling the bass duties as well, was all the music written by you this time around, or did he handle his own bass lines?
No, I wrote all the music. Usually when I do the music, I'll lay down the drum beat, and then the riffs, obviously, and then the arrangement, and then I'll play bass on the demos as well. So I think he just basically more or less followed my bass lines. But Dennis is a very good bass player himself, and he's not the kind of bass player that will follow exactly what the guitar plays. He'll go around it and really enhance it. So it was really good to have him play the bass on the record. Usually I really enjoy playing the bass myself on my recordings, but this time I wanted like more of a real bass player, if you know what I mean.
Right, right. And since all your albums, or all your solo albums at least, seem to have different lineups and your tours as well, how do you decide who is going to be in your lineup?
That really depends. I mean, the whole solo band started out as a vehicle for me to play other ideas to other than Firewind, I mean. So it all started out being very easygoing. With that said, I mean, you know, there was never a specific lineup. It was more like friends, like a revolving door of friends coming in and helping me out for each tour. So I've had quite a few people coming out and helping me out, depending on their commitments and what their touring schedules have been. But like I said, with this one, we just wanted to simplify things. And so basically now it's just going to be me and Dennis, and then we're going to have a drummer helping us out. Again, depending on his commitments, and I don't know which drummers are going to be. Right now we have a guy from Germany. His name is Felix Bonke. He plays with Ed Guy and Avantasia. So he has some free time, so he came out to play some shows with us. But we'll see who if Felix is going to stick around for the rest of the year, or if we might need to bring in somebody else.
Okay, yeah, and how you said with this album you kind of wanted to simplify things and stuff like that. Well, I kind of felt like, you know, the whole album was definitely very consistent music-wise, and I think it's probably your best solo album to date. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, man. Thanks. I mean, that's the general feedback I've been hearing, and yeah, I think cohesive is the word here for this record. I mean, we just wanted to have something that has a certain flow. And I mean, the first two records were also good, and there were lots of cool material over it as well, but, you know, like, I was trying out different things and experimenting more, but on this one, it was like less experimenting and more like more focused and to the point. It was definitely a more focused record for me. Yeah, I really sat down and said, well, you know, I'm a heavy metal guitar player, so I guess that's what I should be doing. That's what people want to hear me do. So that's how in a way it was a little bit of a return to my roots. You know what I mean?
Your other solo album seemed to have more of a hard rock oriented feel to them, and this album, like you said, definitely feels like a return to form for you, as it seems to have a greater emphasis on solos, lead playing, and stuff like that. Can you tell us a bit about the whole songwriting process for this album?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we wrote songs in a really relaxed environment. Really, we didn't force it, or we didn't really meet up to do a writing session for like 2 weeks at a time. Or we would just do like one song at a time, because last year I was busy and on the road with Firewind. So whenever I was at home, I would just basically work on some stuff on my computer, like very sporadically. And then whenever I had something that I thought was cool, I would just email it to Dennis. And then a few days later, he would get back to me with some vocal lines and then go back and forth. So I mean, I think we probably started around February or March 2017, and we finished around August. Yeah, that's how it went.
Okay, cool. And speaking of solos and lead playing, you also have two instrumental tracks on this album. So will you ever be releasing, you know, an all-instrumental album in the future?
Actually, there's three instrumentals on the record. You probably heard the 10-song version of the album, but there's like on Spotify, in the limited edition, basically the Digipack has 12 songs. There's two bonus tracks, so there's one more instrumental. But yeah, you know, since you asked, I mean, it's something that I'm considering more and more lately, because it seems that when I do instrumental stuff, it gets a good amount of attention. People seem to enjoy it. I think I was what's the word? I was probably insecure about playing instrumental stuff up until recently, because I thought probably nobody would be interested in it. But yeah, it seems like people really like it. And the reason actually why I did three instrumentals on this record is because I was motivated by people telling me to do more of that. So maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe you never know. Maybe I'll put out an instrumental EP or a full record at some point. Who knows? Let's see.
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong, I enjoy all your other solo records, and, you know, all the songs with the vocals and everything, but, you know, I definitely feel like that's where your songwriting really excels, you know, the riffs, the melodies, the solos,
right,
and everything.
Right, yeah, yeah. And it's kind of funny, it's like, sometimes it's almost like you're going against all odds. Like, I've wanted to like, and like, finding a stable singer has always been my main struggle in my career, you know. So even in Firewind, we went through so many singers. So it's kind of funny that I was searching for that one dude, like, to be part of an album and a touring lineup, and then that never really happened the way I wanted it to go. And then all of a sudden, when I probably could have been better off by doing more instrumentals, so, and it would have been easier for me. But yeah, I don't know. On the other hand, I really enjoy writing stuff for vocals as well. I'm so used to that.
All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about one of the instrumentals, the title track, Fearless. The intro kind of has a melodic and maybe somewhat arpeggiated intro, almost in the vein of Marty Friedman or Jason Becker. Can you tell us a little bit about this track?
It's exactly the way you described it, bro. It's my cacophony influences all the way. It's definitely arpeggiated, and I just I wanted to create a couple of layers of guitars and just do like two different types of arpeggios, one sort of going into the other, and yeah. I basically had in mind, Jason Becker and Friedman and what those guys were doing since I grew up with that stuff. And that's how it came out. And then originally, I had this the main riff that comes after that. That was how I started out. And I was thinking about that song too, that it would be some sort of a power metal track that would have suited Firewind. But early on, I realized it's maybe a little bit too busy of a guitar track to put vocals on. So I sort of approached it a bit differently and started adding all those guitar layers and ideas, and it became this track. And I guess that's why I called it Fearless, because I was thinking, well, what do I do now? Do I hold back? Do I just simplify it so we can have vocals over it? And then I said, you know what? Let's just go all the way. Let's just add whatever the hell comes to mind, and then let's make it the busiest guitar track I can think of, and then add melodies and stuff like that. And that's how it came about.
Awesome. Well, it turned out great. That's actually probably my favorite track on the whole
record. Oh, cool. Thank you, man.
Yeah. And now for the other instrumental, Thrill of the Chase. This one has somewhat of a blend of hard rock and heavy metal. It has a simple riff, but later on just has an explosion of blazing solos, harmonizing guitars. Can you elaborate a little bit about this track?
Yeah, I had this main melody. Just came to me, one day just playing the guitar. It was like this kind of Michael Schenker groove or Scorpions type of vibe that I wanted to go for. This very 80s kind of laid back hard rock melody. Yeah, and then it just sort of developed from there. Just put a couple of riffs together. And to me, that track is like, it's like a tribute to all my 80s guitar heroes. So I just basically want to create a vibe that takes you back to that time.
Oh, okay. And one track that stood out to me was Mr. Manson. It started out with a great bass line, has great riffs, and with the subject of the song being Charles Manson, to me it felt like it probably wouldn't have sounded out of place on an Aussie record even. So what inspired you to write this song?
Well, obviously I co-wrote it with Dennis. I originally had like the main riff used to be the verse, what is now the verse riff. So it's like this Black Sabbath NIB type of riff. And then I remember I had this like years and years ago. I just found out it on my computer, and then I just sent it to Dennis and I said, this is something that I wrote that I was maybe considering giving it to Ozzy or just showing it to him at some point, but obviously nothing ever came out of that. So I said, what do you think? And then he just, in a couple of days' time, he just sent it back to me with with the vocal line and the Mr. Manson chorus. And I said, what's that all about? And he says, Gus, Mr. Crowley and Perry Mason is already taken, so I had to think of something else. I don't know if he got inspired by all that, but I guess we sort of developed the track like that, went from there. Could have been definitely like an Aussie track. There's definitely a big nod to that, which is cool, man. It's like, I love Aussie, and obviously I was in his band for a number of years, so I guess the influence is inevitable,
Yeah, and another track that really caught my attention was the Dire Straits cover song Money for Nothing. Mm-hmm. Usually whenever there's a cover song on a metal album, it'll be, a cover of maybe Iron Maiden or Black Sabbath or Metallica or someone like them. Why did you decide to cover this one?
Well, first of all, because it's not your usual track, like you just said. I just didn't want to cover, do another Metallica track or whatever, just like everybody always does. And it was like one of the track, Money for Nothing, it's such an iconic riff. I love the riff. It's something that everybody always air guitars to. So I was looking around YouTube and I realized, nobody has really done in the recent years any cool cover of this. So, and then this idea came to me to do it like at half speed and play the riff on a lower string and just make it much heavier. So that was the whole idea behind it. So we gave it a shot. Basically just had fun in the studio. That's what it was.
All right, and since you mentioned being an Aussie's band for a while, can you tell us a little bit about the differences in playing, with a big band like Aussie as opposed to, your solo band in Firewind, like differences in the audiences and everything like that?
Well, obviously, there's a lot more people in an Aussie gig than in a Firewind gig. I mean, they're both great, for different reasons. Obviously, being an Aussie, I was a sideman, but just playing that catalog and what I call the Bible of heavy metal, it was just amazing every night. You never get tired of that, and then playing that with the man himself. But then again, just having your own band and playing your own songs, and even if we're playing in smaller crowds, and you know that the fans that are coming in, they're coming to see you and hear your own music, that's also a very rewarding feeling. And yeah, that's also something very special.
All right, and you get to tour the States quite often as a solo artist. When can we expect to see maybe a Firewind tour?
Oh, good question. We just finished up the touring cycle for Immortals, and unfortunately, we left North America out. Since it was kind of like our get back on track type of record for us, we decided to focus more in the European market, which we are stronger. But I think when we do the next record, I think we'll probably make another attempt to come out to the US. It's been way too long.
Right. So, how well are your solo albums received here in the States as opposed to, Firewind?
I don't know. I mean, I just recently just started doing some solo tours a couple of years ago. And they seem to be doing pretty okay, and we're gonna do another one in September as part of the guitar package. I get to tour with some amazing guitar players. I did a tour with Vinnie Moore last year. The solo band is still like in its baby steps. But we're building it up. With Firewind, obviously when we go into the major markets, the major cities, we always did well, but then America is such a huge country, and the kind of music that we play is not that, it's not that well known, or I don't know, it's just not very popular over there. Maybe it's something has changed because we haven't been there in 5 or 6 years. So, but like I said, I would definitely like to try it at some point again and come back with Firewind. But there's also like a big market for the guitar players right now, and somehow instrumental music is pretty hip again with a lot of the new prog bands that are coming out in the scene. So, it seems like right now the market has room for everyone, which is a good thing. It's a healthy thing, The only drawback of this is like it's just like such a saturated market, the live market. Everybody's touring a lot, so it's kind of hard, to make sure, to see where you're gonna be booked and where you're gonna be playing and with which bands and all that stuff. So, but it's all good. Yeah, I enjoy playing America a lot.
Awesome, Mel. Unfortunately, the clock is running against us and we are almost out of time. So I just have one more question. And in some of the promo photos for this album, I noticed you were playing a Jackson guitar. Weren't you playing exclusively for ESP at
I
one
was,
point?
yeah. I mean, 2 years ago I switched over to Jackson.
Okay, can you elaborate on why this happened? Like, were you just looking for a new sounds?
Yeah, it was just like a time for a change for me. It was nothing like really personal. I mean, it was I love my ESP guitars. I still have all of them, actually. I was just looking for a change. It was time to move on, and the Jackson guys approached me, I guess, at the right timing, and I played a few of their guitars. I A/B'd it with my other ESPs that I had, and I just felt that I wanted to go for something else, and that's how we came up with new star models of mine.
All right, cool. Well, man, it's been great talking to you. I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to speak with us today. I really do appreciate it.
Ah, it's a pleasure, Eric. Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, man. Well, I hope the album continues to do well, and I look forward to a solo tour here in the States and maybe hopefully a Firewind
Yeah,
tour.
man. Hope so too. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gus.
You
Take
too.
care.
Bye.
And that's a wrap, folks. Thanks for listening to our chat with Gus G. I sincerely hope you enjoyed it. Once again, my name is Eric Woody, reviewer, interviewer, and contributor here with Sonic Perspectives. And I encourage you to use any of the links below to subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel, and to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get notified about the new content we publish on a daily basis. I'm going to be signing off now, but before I leave, I'm going to leave you guys with a track from Gus's recently released album titled Fearless. This is Thrill of the Chase. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see y'all later. Take care.